Are you saying yes this morning? Give God the glory and the praise. Good to see each and every one of you this morning. Hope you had a blessed week. Hope we realize how important it is for us to say yes to Him, for us not to wait and take it for granted and take life for granted. I think that's what's happening more and more today, that we are not saying yes, and not just saying it, but acting upon it, living in a way that we're approving and saying yes to what God says. The Order of My Steps title is The Silent Danger of Passivity. The Silent Danger of Passivity. We are in a very humanly comfortable time right now, which is actually a dangerous time. I don't know if you remember in the story of Exodus, the Israelites in Egypt during that time became very comfortable. It wasn't until a new Pharaoh came across and made their work harder that they finally cried out to the Lord. But up to that point, they were doing their thing. Life was going on, and as far as they were concerned, they were okay. We in this age right now are doing the exact same thing. There are actually three types out there. I don't know if y'all remember when we did humble strength, and I made that little timeline there, and in the middle of it was humble, and on one end was pride, and on the other end was fear. Okay, the two extremes we cannot be. In the same way, there are two extremes here as well. Think of the same timeline, but in the middle is going to be something different. The one we're going to measure on is one of the extremes today, but I'm going to explain all three. Looking at, if you turn the bulletins over at the top, it says an aggressive Christian is one that overacts and usually causes a lot of problems in his actions. In other words, he'll respond, he'll react, he'll speak before thinking, he'll do before thinking. He just goes with emotion, he goes with it. They're one of those head on and let's do it. And they're very, you notice them immediately. You'll be able to pick them out no problem. A passive Christian does not act when he is supposed to and causes equal amounts of damage. These two characteristics should never describe a Christian. All Christians should be responsible to God. Now, once again, using the two extremes, one just acts. In other words, emotionally, they just go with it. They run with it. They tell you stuff like, I'm speaking it like it is. They'll put out their feelings, their emotions, and they just run with it. And like I said, they in their trying to do good, they usually push people away. The only good thing about an aggressive Christian is you notice them. They're recognized. You see them there, and it's usually a problem that can be confronted and taken care of. The second type of Christian is a passive Christian. And that you do not see as often. What I mean by it is it exists a lot more than the aggressive one. But because they're passive, you don't recognize they're that way until the after effects, until what wasn't done. There's a major problem with being passive. Now, me, by nature, I am a passive person, by nature. And this is why it's so important that I must keep in step with the Spirit. Same thing goes for an aggressive Christian. You have some people that by nature, they're aggressive. But that's how they must keep in step with Spirit. That's why we must be spiritual. This is why we do fruit every year, for you to become spiritual. Because you'll hear Christians go, well, that's just the way I am. It's not about how you are. It's what you're supposed to be. God expects us to be. Remember, transform by renewing your mind. But too many of us kind of still have that mentality of, well, I'm just that kind of person. I'm quiet. I don't like trouble. I kind of stay out of stuff. But there's a problem with that. God speaks against that. Let me make something clear first. Make no mistakes. All passive people are not lazy, just not responsible to God. Know the difference. Using an analogy or an example, there was a man who worked at a job. Everybody wanted him on their projects because he was the hardest worker on their projects. But he was hired in a position. Unfortunately, in his position, that stuff was not getting done. But every other project, man, people loved him. He did excellent work. He was there on time. He did most of the work. You can always depend on him on other projects. But when it came to something that he was responsible for, nothing. Absolutely nothing. New management took over and they looked over the records of everybody, and what they seen on his records was nothing. Do you understand? Now, everybody would vouch, well, no, he's a hard worker. He's this and that. Had nothing to do with it. What were you responsible for? Do y'all get this? What were you responsible for? So they let him go. He lost his job, not because he was lazy, because he was not responsible. Now, being passive is the same way. There's a lot of Christians that are very busy, hard workers in places that's not responsible to God. And then when God comes back and you answer, he's going to question you on the things you're responsible for. Keep this in mind. He's not going to come to you just because you're a hard worker. He's going to come to you on, what were you doing that I asked? Look and see what it says here. First, God's message for the passive church needs to be heard. We see in Revelations 3, 14 through 17, he says, to the angel of the church in Laodicea, write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds. Now stop there for a minute. And he's going to say this to many of the churches, of the seven churches that he sends this letter to. I know your deeds. He said, I know exactly what you did. Not just what you did, but your purposes and everything that comes around for these deeds. And look what he says. That you are neither cold nor hot. That means, oh, you work hard, but not for the right reasons. You kind of straddle the fence. I want the best of both worlds. I want to kind of please God, but I also want to please man, right? I want to serve two masters, and I'm doing it, is what they think. God says, I wish you were either one or the other. If you're going to be evil, he said, be evil or 100% for me. But no, they're still living a lie in which they're saying, but I work hard on this end, but I also work hard on this end. And he's making it clear that this is even worse than a person who's just working hard on evil. He goes on to say, so because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out my mouth. That's huge, coming from God. He's basically saying, I'm rejecting you. Do y'all get this? Now, in their minds, you're thinking, but I'm working hard. Well, yeah, but you're also working hard for this group. So you're not in turn. You cancel out whatever you did for me as if you've done nothing. Amen? You haven't applied what I told you to. He says, you say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. Remember that comfort thing I was talking about? We'll come back to that. Keep this in mind. But you see what this group is saying. I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. In other words, we usually are reacting due to what we get back. And in many cases, due to our comfort, I want to stay comfortable. If I reacted in many cases in what way God tells me to, it's going to be uncomfortable if I'm being honest, right? If I do what God tells me to do in the Bible concerning my brothers and sisters, my walk in the Lord, my ways at work, how I deal with my finances, uncomfortable. It's going to take me outside of my comfort zone. They're saying, we're good. So why would we change? Keep this in mind what they're serving here, okay? He says, I am rich. They say, I am rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing, but you do not realize. That's the problem. Why do you come to church? To realize. What am I supposed to preach to you? What you are to realize. We're to walk by what? Not by. Key words, not by. Okay, it didn't say walk by faith and try not to add too much sight. It didn't say walk by faith and just a little bit of sight. No, it's saying not by. I can assure you the majority of Christians today have a lot of sight with a hint of faith. Right? Or we mistake our sight for faith. I've seen this happen to so and such, so I'm doing that. That's faith, is what they'll say. And that's not faith. He says, you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Unfortunately, many today don't realize. In being passive, we don't realize how bad we are. I have to answer to God. I need to realize. Now, It's not that I don't realize. Remember I said deception is what? Choice. Remember, I didn't say it. The Bible shows that. That's why it says do not be deceived. So they don't realize, not because they can or because they were confused or because they were a victim. No, they chose not to realize. They chose not to realize. Everybody get that? For when you don't get something, it's because you're not getting it. The Bible uses the word pursue. If I really want to know how to take care of something, I go to the Bible, find out what it says, apply it. Isn't that how it works? Right? So as a father, I got to go to the Bible. What does it say for a father to do? Do what the Bible says. Apply it. As a husband, I have to go see what the Bible says. As it, do exactly what the Bible says. Apply it. Y'all see how this works? Okay? This is how I do it. Now, if I being a father and just call myself a Christian father and do the best I can, who's wrong? I am. You understand? Because he gave me the answer. I chose not to pursue it. Right? Or what if I went into it and I fully didn't get it? What's my next step? I need to go, okay, pastor and others, let's sit down and go over this. I need to understand this because this is crucial to my life. Not, well, I tried. Once again, I still don't realize and it's my fault. Everybody get this? All right. Now watch this. God is not just looking for us to work hard, but to work hard at what he made us responsible for. He gives a title and a definition here. In Matthew 24, 45 through 46, it says, who then is the faithful and wise servant? Remember in the parable, we're going to read part of it in the next, but where he says, my good and faithful servant. Well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Two titles given to us. So this one gives us the definition and answers to us. Who is that faithful and wise servant? Who is that? How am I that, faithful and wise, whom the master has put in charge of the servant in his household to give them their food at the proper time? Now, I hope you caught what he just showed you there. And he didn't just say who I find working hard. Did y'all catch that? No, who I find doing what I told them to the way I told them to do it. Do y'all see that? The master has put in charge of servants in a household to give them the food at the proper time. Did y'all see that? Not only do I need to know what he wants me to do, I got to notice how, when, why, where, and all this other stuff. I have to know. And once again, the Bible tells me that. Once again, we become these independent Christians. God, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to put the Keith spin on Christianity. We just spun outside the Bible. You just corrupted the true word. He doesn't want your spin. Do you understand this? He wants you to do exactly what he tells you. He says the one who does exactly what he tells him. He says it will be good for that servant whose master find him doing so. You're going to have a lot of Christians working very hard, but not at what he told them to. Like that man at the job. They're going to be working on a project, and they're going to be one of the hardest workers on that project. And God's going to go, what's this over here? Oh, well, that belongs to so-and-so, but he's been helping me over here. But what did I tell him to do? Do y'all get this? Okay? But I've been working hard. Once again, we allow our emotions, and that's not right, to get in the way instead of recognizing I am supposed to live for God. God doesn't take passiveness lightly. We've seen this in that parable I was just talking about, Matthew 25, 26 through 30. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. To give you some background, remember, and this parable describes life. If you read the beginning of the parable when you get a chance, he gave talents according to their ability. Now, remember, their ability doesn't mean whatever you were good at. It's whatever ability he gave you. God gave us all abilities. Now, there's certain things in the Bible that we're all responsible for. Everybody get that? Okay, everybody in here is responsible for. And then there's certain things that we as individuals are responsible for. Now, the everything we're responsible for is included in that. So he gives you talents or that responsibility, and that's what you're responsible for. This servant took and hid his. What it didn't say was he did opposite of it. It didn't say he threw it away. It said he hid his. In other words, he was passive towards it. In other words, when the master came back, what he gave him is what was returned. Do y'all get that? You were the same person you were when you got saved as you are when he returns. Major problem. Major problem. You didn't budge. He says you wicked, lazy servant. He didn't just say, what are you doing? He called him wicked and lazy. Amen? wicked and lazy servant. He says, so you knew that I have harvested where I have not sown, gathered where I have not scattered seed. Well, then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I return, I would have received it back with interest. He's saying, now, remember I said our problem here is we don't react out of the fear of God. We don't live out of the fear of God, do we? The fear of God is non-existent today. Right now, we live off of God being this mishmash and, oh, that's okay. And you can see it in our parenting. You can see it in how we deal with things. We kind of let things go. Yeah, I know it's wrong, but that's okay, right? We kind of just let things pass. While God's not that kind of God. He's saying, you knew what I do. You should have pursued and said, I got to do something because he's coming back. Do y'all get this? You know what I mean? I was telling my kids, my grandkids, when they were cleaning, they do it in a way, and both on both sides, both my son and my daughter, have this thing with them where they're like, I'll go in there, it looks like nothing was done. Now, I remember when we were younger, the fear of my grandmother coming in there and not seeing it done or even seeing it half done, oh, we paid for it. There were times where we, in our minds, really thought we did a good job. Then when she came in, nope, and you're not going out. You're going to finish that the right way, and you're not going out. We still got punished, and we still had to finish it. We understood the consequences. There was a reverence there. Today, oh, kids will be kids. People will be people. Let them go. And we treat God that same way. We treat God in that same way of, yeah, I know I'm supposed to react this way, but we don't. Passive. Unacceptable. He's saying in verse 29, for everyone, well, I'm sorry, he says in verse 28, take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. What that means is, God give me a life, okay? What I make out of this life, the more I'm going to get from God. Do y'all get this? But it's up to me how I make it. It's my choice. And he's basically saying, this one who did nothing, even what he had, is now given to the one who made. And I'm not saying, remember, I'm not telling you to go out there, and this is not for us to go out there and just be progressive and not to go out there and just do stuff. He didn't say go out there and open up 20 businesses to make a whole bunch of friends to go scream at people to come to Christ. No, he gives specifics exactly how we're supposed to live. All right? You'll know how to do it, and you do it continually in everything that you do. That's what he's saying. So the one who got 10 more was a person who did exactly what God said continually in increasing measure. He did it at his job. He did it in his home. He did it on the street. He did it when he went to store. He did it on vacation. He did it all the time. And that's why he says, everyone who has more will be who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. It says, and throw the worthless servant outside into darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth, which is hell. Once again, should be a wake-up call. Should be one of those of, wait. So not just the ones who are doing evil, those who are doing nothing. And not just doing nothing, it's doing nothing in the Lord. You got some Christians that are very busy. They're very successful, very active, but not in what God wants them to do. Do you understand that? He is not impressed with your busyness. He's not impressed with your actions. He's not impressed with your abundance here on the world. Not at all. He's impressed with you serving him. Now, you can have all that other stuff as long as he is the purpose. Do y'all get this? Everybody understand that, okay? Made that very clear, all right? This describes us. Here's some dangers of passive. A passive person is equal to a destructive person. Proverbs 18:9 says, one who is slack in his work is a brother to one who destroys. What that's basically saying, when you are passive, you are destroying. By doing nothing, and I'm going to give you an example of passive. There's a lot of us who see brothers and sisters doing wrong. And this is how we deal with it. We do this. That's it. Maybe we'll pray, but that's it. Never going to say a word. Not going to do anything. Not going to talk to somebody else about it. We'll do. Oh, well. Right? But I'm not going to say anything. I don't want them to be mad at me. We're going to talk about that, okay? I'm not going to do anything because I don't want to ruin our relationship. But, yeah, what they're doing, that's wrong. You're destroying that brother. It's like watching somebody in the water drowning and you shaking your head. only they could swim. Let me see what's happening back here. And that's what we do with our lives. Then when they drown, you think, oh, it's because they couldn't swim. No, it's because you didn't do anything. Do y'all get this? Okay? Passiveness is where I know what I'm supposed to do. Also, passive parents abuse children. It's actually one of the worst abuses around there. Now, once again, remember I told you aggressiveness is easy to catch. An aggressive abuser does it so instantly. Everybody sees it and it's so painful and it's outrageous. It's just as bad. But the dangerous one, the passive parent, is an abuse that you can't see. It's a hidden abuse that there are no marks. It says in Proverbs 29:15, the rod of correction imparts wisdom. But watch this. But a child left to himself disgraces his mother. If you notice, it doesn't say may or could. No, child left to himself disgraces. You leaving them to discover or figure out stuff on their own, you're destroying them. The worst kind of abuse. Oh, they'll figure it out. They'll turn out fine. He starts it off to show you what we're supposed to do. The rod of correction imparts wisdom. Why do we discipline? Why do we punish? To give them something they need. There's a verse that says, fathers, train up your child in the way of the Lord. Isn't that what it says? Right? But a lot of us aren't doing that. We're letting Nickelodeon or SpongeBob or whatever raise our kids. And we just wait until 18. And we kick them out. And say, good luck. And you think, they're smart enough to learn. No, you weren't smart enough to learn. Discipline, and we have to do this, but we're passive because I don't want them to be mad at me. I don't want them to be hurt. I don't want to see them cry. Not doing what I'm supposed to do is not an option. It's how it should be. We've made it an option, but it's not. That's why the Bible says in James 4:17, anyone, now who's that include? Everyone. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. Now, some of us will go, well, see, that's why I don't read my Bible, then I don't know the good I'm ought to do, right? There's some people think they're getting through a loophole. If I don't read my Bible, I won't know the good. You know you're supposed to read your Bible. Okay, so I just blew that loophole out the water, didn't I? So do you understand that? In which I know this is my instruction. I know I'm supposed to go to it and let it be my guide to my life. So all of that I know. So first of all, if you're not reading your Bible, you sin. If you are reading your Bible, not doing what it says, you sin. The only thing that's right is reading it and doing what it says, period. There will be no passes. There are no passes in it. He makes it very clear, anyone. So if I sin, and that's what my life is described, if somebody looks at me and they see me a wise person based on the world, or wise person based on my culture, wise person based on intelligence, but not based on the word, then I live a life of sin, which makes me a sinner. Did I really accept Christ? Passiveness will make us ignore. We'll read the word. We'll say amen. I'm not doing it. Nobody's saying anything to me. I don't want to be separate. I don't want people to be mad at me. Watch this. And that's going to be a very important point. All this comes down to an answer. Not doing. So how do we eliminate passivity? How do we get rid of this? Because it's a must for each and every one of us to do it. First of all, know the core purpose to passivity is trying to please man over God. That includes self. Does everybody get that? That includes self. Either you are somehow trying to please a man, it could be that other person, or it can be yourself. It says in Galatians 1, verse 10, am I trying to win the approval of men or of God? That's a question you should ask. When you get ready to do something, who are you trying to win the approval of? Or am I trying to please men? He makes very clear, if I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. He just said, those who are living to please others, including self, are not Christians. Do y'all get this? Remember, Lord, Lord, I never knew you. Because there's a lot of us that are living in that mode in which, are you happy with what I did? Am my child happy with what I did? Or am I comfortable with what I did? Or did you check and see what God said about what you did? There are a lot of stuff God tells us to do that are not going to feel good. People are not going to be happy with you. There are many sermons I know I give up here, and I look at y'all, and y'all look at me like, come on, Pastor. You didn't need to go over that. We didn't have to talk about that topic. We could have left that alone, right? And many churches start being itchy here. Okay, we won't go over that. We won't talk about that. I don't want to hurt or offend. I've heard people leave out stuff in the Bible, and I get it because I grew up in the church that way, and I've seen it, and people still get offended, even though you're like, but the Bible says. And they're like, yeah, but it hurt my feelings. Okay, I'll never say it again. I'm pleasing you over God. I just disqualified myself. Do y'all get this? Passiveness is everything I do or do not do, the question should be why. If it was because God said so and I'm just doing what God said, amen. Because that's how it's going to be. He's going to check you and everything that you do. As a husband, he's going to check me. So did you love your wife the way Christ loved the church? That's what he's not going to go. Well, did you make her happy? Y'all see the difference? Okay. He's not going to go to the wife in the same way and say, were you submissive unto your husband as unto the Lord? Not, or did you make him happy? Or were you pleased with how you were in the marriage? He's not. That's not the question. Do y'all get this? It's going to be based on him. He already gives you the answer sheet while you're taking the test. You have the answer. It's do you choose to do it? So the core problem is usually we're trying to please others. He's saying if I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. Secondly, instruction for the church is diligence in what you are responsible for. Diligence in what you're responsible for. Hebrews 6, 10 through 12 says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. Now watch this in verse 11. We want each of you to show the same diligence till the very end. So this is something we're supposed to show in our responsibility to one another in order to make your hope sure. Some of us just take it for granted. Oh, I'm a Christian. Instead of living with the fact of I have to answer to God, a lot of us really have this grace thing to where I'm cool. Man, I don't have to do nothing. I'm good. He's saying to them, keep living in order to make sure. See, one thing you didn't recognize is he says in the Bible, and there's a Bible study I'm doing, I may do later on over it called Overcome. Because there's a verse that says, who is the one that is going to heaven? He who overcomes until the end. See, now you have some that say I became a Christian in 1983. I haven't been living as a Christian, but because I became a Christian, I'm headed to heaven. Please understand, that's not what the Bible says. That's what some teach, not what the Bible says. But he says this to make sure they understand what each of you to show the same diligence till the very end in order to make your hope sure. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those, watch this, here are the two elements you need to add. Through faith and patience, inherit what has been promised. Faith is shown through actions. How I live will either be based on me pleasing you, me pleasing me, or what he says. Y'all get that? It's going to be one of those. It's easy to see it. It's cut and dry. It's very easy. So when a person is usually passive, I don't want to get involved. So I'm pleasing me. I don't want you to be mad at me. So I'm pleasing you. Well, God said, this is why I have to. Oh, now I'm listening to God. Y'all just see how that works? It's as simple as that, seriously. Simple. But we don't do it. Why? Because I don't want to be uncomfortable. I don't want to make them uncomfortable. Now, in no way am I telling it, the passive ones to become aggressive. That doesn't mean tomorrow you go, hey, you know you have no business doing what you're doing. Now, I'm not saying that. But you recognize when somebody has something they're doing wrong, going, all right, now it's become my problem. This is something that I have to work. I have to think of a plan. I got to pray about it, and I have to act. There is a problem here. Pastor, we need to talk. Friend, we need to talk. You know what I mean? I'm going to people because I see a problem. Now it becomes my problem. There is a problem in the body. Y'all do understand, if your body acted like passive Christians, you would die from a common cold. Did y'all know that? Because remember, you get a common cold, the rest of your body sends the white cells to attack that disease in your body. So you get sick and sneeze and all that other stuff, but you still live. But when your body doesn't react, and it kind of sits there and goes, yeah, there's a cold. Well, it's not my problem. I don't feel like leaving. I don't want to hurt the lungs' feelings. Then it turns to pneumonia. Then it turns to whatever else, and then you die from a common cold. Y'all get this? An autoimmune is what you become. You become something that's worse because you don't react. He makes sure we understand this, that it has to be something we do and look out. He says, we do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. So we live our life through faith and patience. The patience part comes in me waiting on God. Not patiently sit there and do nothing. It's me waiting on God. I'm doing what he says, waiting on him. Because understand, you can't fix them, but you got to do their part, your part. Remember he says, I lay the seed and Apollos waters. I still have to lay the seed and Apollos has to water. I still have to do my part. When I just shake my head and say, I'll pray it for you, I still didn't do my part. People are hungry. I have all the seeds in my house and I just shake my head and I'll pray for you. What's going to happen next? They're still going to be hungry. And they're going to go, Keith, why didn't you plant the seed? Well, I prayed to God. Yeah, you should have planted the seed. That's your part, was to plant the seed. Did you trust in him? Then do what he tells you to do. That simple. Being idle and not living acceptable to God should be addressed. So now, this is the hard part, because now I'm telling the passive people to approach the passive people. Well, I'm not telling you. Bible is 2 Thessalonians 3. Verse 6 says, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is idle. Now, let me be very clear. This is not talking about somebody who's busy. This is somebody who's not busy in the Lord. Big difference. Like I said, you have a lot of Christians who are very active, very busy, just not doing what they're supposed to. And he says, keep away from every brother who is idle. In other words, when it comes to God, they don't do that. Now, that's non-existent. That, you look at that and say, yeah, Pastor, yeah, good luck with that. Because it's not done. We just don't do it. He goes on and says, and does not live according to the teaching you received from us. He made it very clear. He's not talking to somebody who's not busy in the Lord. So my response should be, I see them doing nothing. I got to talk to a sister or brother so and such. That should be my next step. I really need to sit down and have some time with my brother or my sister because I love them. And then when they go, yeah, I'm good with my life, then you got to distance yourself. In order for them to go, hey, what, how come you don't talk? Brother, you're not doing anything. I mean, the Bible says this and that, and you're not reacting. You're doing absolutely nothing. You're becoming more of a danger. I'll help you. What do you need? Same thing I want them to say to me. That's a hard conversation, what I just said. That was just uncomfortable, and I'm not saying it to anybody right now, right? But because we're not saying it, more and more we're becoming passive. And more, less is being done. And more, people are hurting, and people are diving, and people are missing. Do y'all see this? Because we're not doing what we're supposed to. He's saying, keep away from every brother that's idle. Idle, please, don't mistake it by sight, by them being busy. It's going to be, does that person live for the word? You'll see them growing in it, you'll see them applying it, you'll see them gaining information, or you'll see them just going through the motion. Yeah, I go to church. Yeah, I do my thing, but not, no, when I go to work, I'm just as evil as everybody else at work. My purpose is money, just like everybody else. In marriage, we get married for our own happiness. I raise my kids as long as they get out of my way and don't bother me. Do y'all get this? You watch them, that means I have to assess you and you have to assess me. In a loving way, in no way I'm telling y'all to go barge in. Once again, do not become aggressive, but it has to be one of those in which we need to talk. If I were you, and I'm talking to a small group here, make it easy. Go to your prayer partner and say, am I passive? And prayer partner, take that opportunity to go, oh, yeah, let's talk about it, because I know I am also. What can we do to fix it? So understand, this is how it should be, this final line here. We are to learn and to teach to be active in godliness. Now, he includes everybody in this instruction here. Watch what he says. In Titus 2, starting in verse 2, he says, teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and endurance. Let me be very clear, men. That is going to be a lifestyle. That's not just a title. You get the title from what they see. I'm going to read it again. Temperate. Temperate means you don't just fly off. If they know, no, he has a bad temper. If I'm known to have a bad temper, that's a problem with me being a Christian. Worthy of respect. Not just respectful, worthy of it. He deserves that respect because of how he lives. self-control. They're not always coming back apologizing. I couldn't help it. I didn't mean it. Self-controlled. Sound in faith. Now, this is the sound goes with faith, love, and endurance. How I deal with everything will be fully based on the word. Everybody say fully. So in other words, you won't see a little bit of the word. You'll see complete. When they say how Keith deals with his family, it's going to be exactly what the Bible says. How Keith deals with his job will be exactly how the Bible says. How Keith deals with his loved ones will be exactly how the Bible says. Including myself, I know that's not happening. Y'all understand that? So hopefully a brother or sister are going, let's help and adjust each other on that. Not me coming and judging you and telling you what to do. Me helping you to adjust this. It says, now, once you train the older ones, then it talks about the older women. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live. Remember, I told you, the fear is gone. Fear is long gone. You watch marriages today, more wives are the heads. Amen? Now, I know your wives are saying, it's because the men aren't doing it. You're absolutely right. But the remedy isn't just take over. Nowhere does it say that. It didn't say, wives, if your husband's not the head, take over. Read 1 Peter 3. He gives you the answer. Reverence would be, what is God's answer to this? Not, I'm just going to take over. Right? But there's no reverence, so you just take over. It says reverence in the way they live, not to be slanderers. In other words, say stuff about somebody just to hurt them. Addicted to much wine. It's saying, do not be that. But teach what is good. Don't teach emotionally. Don't teach intellectually. What is good? So it told the women to teach what? God. You may give some very fine sounding things, but if it's not based on good, God, it's not good. And if it's not good, you're teaching wrong. Some of the older women in the church would do stuff to it, see a younger woman, and they'll immediately say, you need to be married. Now, marriage can play a part, but they'll almost make them feel bad for not being married, right? While you go to 1 Corinthians 7, you understand this. Now, the mentality of a married woman or whatever, it shows us it's going to be the same mentality for an unmarried and a married woman. That's why it says, then you can teach. It goes on to say, but to teach what is good, then they can train the younger women to live love their husband and children. So that's for those who are married, how to truly do that. But to live, even if you're single, with that mindset of understanding. Because why? Because as a younger woman, you're going to understand, even though I'm not married, this is what God's telling me to teach. I'm supposed to love and live that way. Not, I wouldn't let him talk to me that way. Right? Oh, it's okay if your child does that. It'll go on to say, to be self-controlled, pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands so that no one will malign the word of God. Right now, saying that in today's world is, oh, Pastor, I can't believe you just read that. And I get it. Our society and our culture has totally messed this up. And that seems very old school, and we just don't do that anymore. You can go ahead and say God's old school, or you can do what God says. Remember, I have to teach what the word says. Okay? You go with what you want. I have to teach what the word says. So you're teaching them this. These are the things we're supposed to teach them. This is action. This is a lifestyle. It says, similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled in everything. Set them an example. Hopefully you caught this. God gave us an answer for both men and women. And the women, it says, older women can train the younger women. And younger men, you give them an example. Men are visual. Women react. Women can be taught much better than men. That's why a lot of them take it in church better. While the men are watching, men keep an eye on how you're living your life. And I'm talking to all the men right now. The young men are watching you. I don't care what advice you give them, they're watching you. You can give them the best advice on earth, and they're watching how you're living. Oh, well, he does that, and he does this. I know he told me not to do this, but I watched him do this, and I watched him do this. And you see how this works? It says in everything. Everybody say everything. What does that include? All things. In everything, set them an example by what? Doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. I told you in many cases, there's one thing I taught my son, but a lot of traits that I did, I watched my son, and that's what he picked up. Y'all get this? I was a hard worker. Church wasn't always primary. And that's the trait my son picked up. Y'all get this? Very hard worker. In a world sense, excellent. For his family. Church, if I can, I will. Maybe. Do y'all get this? I always had this, I got this family, I got to take care of them. Not, they should have seen me put God first 100% of the time. I taught them that. I didn't live that. My fault. Do y'all get this? Okay? And not just for me. This goes for every man in here. Okay? This doesn't just mean my kids. How many other kids looked up at either Mr. Smith or Uncle Keith or my brother or however it is, younger ones looking at me going, I'm watching how he does it, and that's how even though I'm telling them, make sure you do this, make sure you do that. They watch how I am with my kids, how I am with my wife, how I am at my job. If they see me going late every day, they're like, well, Dad did it. Mr. Smith did it. Y'all get this? We can't be passive. It's something I probably should have preached on a long, long time ago, but I was being passive. Amen? I'm hoping from this point forward, and this is just FSG because this is a disease in the entire church, the entire body, because we're comfortable. It's easier to be this way, but we're going to have to answer to God for this. Does everybody understand this? Let's look into this silent danger. I challenge you to go to your prayer partner and to the person that is responsible for you. Sit down and talk to them. Let's go over, am I passive? How can we fix this? Because it's inexcusable for us to allow that disease to disrupt the body. Amen? All right. As the word says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. We take this time out to pray, and let's pray for all those passive and aggressive people, for us to all be responsible in God. Let us make sure we're showing ourselves in a way that is acceptable to him. For those of you who want to write your prayers down, it should be a blank piece of paper on the table. Feel free to write your prayer down on that. Put it in the basket in the usher's table. We'll pray over that in the end. For those of you who would like somebody to pray with you, make sure you see myself or one of the deacons after services. We'll be more than glad to pray with you. And as we should always do, along with our children and examples to our children, is pray continually. Amen? Prayer, meditation.